Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia, solartopia, solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a solartopia all over God's green world.
Okay, listen, everybody. This is Harvey Sluggo Wasserman. We are on live on the Progressive Radio Network on with our my Green Power and Wellness show, which runs Thursdays Eastern time from 5 to 7. I want to welcome everybody who's listening in on PRN to this astonishing call. This is the 25th Zoom call of the Grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition, otherwise known as GREEP. As you may recall, most of you are too young, but when Richard Nixon was running for re-election in 1972, he had the committee to re-elect the president, or CREEP, and we are the counteraction, we are the antidote, as opposed to the anecdote, to Nixon's re-election commission. So we already have 48 people on. This is a special session of the Grassroots Emergency Election Protection Coalition. First time we've walked in live with the Progressive Radio Network. I've been putting out the recordings of our sessions on PRN, and we have had a substantial audience on PRN. So now we're joined live with them. I can see many of our participants. Hi, Lissa. Go Blue, Fred Morrison, Daniel Wolf. Everybody, it's good to see you all. You on the PRN cannot see us, but if you want to get on to the Zoom, email me at solartopia@gmail, and I will try and get you on, get you the link. Steve Caruso, is there a website anywhere, or Mike, where people can listen to
it? Grassroots EP, grassroots.ep.org/upcoming Zooms, and you'll see today's listed on that page.
Yeah, it's we've been using the same link for quite a while. So if you're listening in on Progressive Radio Network and you want to join the call, the Zoom, so that we can see you and you can see us. I mean, Steve has got some magnificent scenery. It looks like Northern Ireland there. Go to grassrootsep.org and link up and get on with us. And we are today in the midst of, I don't have to tell you. Hi, Howie Hawkins, Green Party candidate for president. Good to see you wearing your Teamster shirt. Anna Georgie, good to see you from Montague Farm, or Wendell Farm, actually. Glad to have you with us. We're up to 50 people on this, probably about the same or more on PRN. So again, if you're on the Progressive Radio Network, want to join the Zoom, go to grassrootsep.org, go to upcoming Zooms, hit the link and join us. Tomorrow, Stephen Spitzer says, the current CREEP in the White House makes Richard Nixon look like a nice guy. I have to say, Stephen, that nothing, not even Donald Trump, makes Richard Nixon look like a nice guy. But he does have, there is continuity there. Roger Stone, who choreographed a lot of Richard Nixon's dirty tricks, has choreographed a lot of Donald Trump's dirty tricks. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Anyway, Greg Palast has just texted me and he may join us at some point. So we're rocking and rolling. Let me start by I just looked at the New York Times, the front page, and where we stand as best we know with the election. Arizona has been awarded by the New York Times, along with Michigan. By the way, The margin for Joe Biden in Michigan is over 100,000 votes. I was shocked to see that, but you may look at that, see if I got it right. Anybody who can access the Times while we're talking here, but he has a very, very substantial margin in Michigan. And I assume it must be similar in Wisconsin. I haven't seen it lately. The margin.
No, that's incorrect.
What's that?
Michigan is correct. Over 100,000. Wisconsin is still just above 20,000.
Well, that's astounding. That's a very good sign for Pennsylvania, Georgia, and North Carolina. I'm pretty sure that Biden will carry Nevada, which will give him exactly 270.
I didn't hit start video.
There we go.
You see me on there.
So look at those numbers: 279,5714 versus 268,818. So that is 147,000 votes. Is that correct? Am I doing the math right? Is that 147,000 votes that Biden won Michigan by? Alan, is that correct? Who has a math?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
That's astounding. So, and I have to point out at this point, again, we are nonpartisan on this call. And by the way, we have 2 hours to go through this, and we are just going to be, this is going to be a free-for-all because, you know, I don't have to explain to everybody where we're at. Has anybody been sleeping? Has anybody gotten a good night's sleep in the last week? I certainly haven't, you know. So, but that's an astonishing number. That's an unchallengeable number. He will not be able to flip Michigan under any circumstances with that kind of margin. So, John Brakey, are you on with us? What we want to do first,
yes,
John.
I am.
Okay. Right. So one of the key pieces here is Arizona. What we're going to do? We're going to start and go through, because this is what's on the top of everybody's mind, is to go through where we're at, where we stand with the election. Okay, I'm sure everybody has been following it. Greg Powis is calling me. Greg, if you want to link in, we're happy to have you talk for a couple minutes about the impacts of, when do you want to do? You tell me.
The beauties of live radio.
Yes, we're broadcast and podcast. So just call in, zoom in, and we'll raise your hand and we'll, I'll send you the link. Or go to grassrootsep.org, grassrootsep.org, and go to upcoming Zooms. And the link is right there, okay? No, this is PRN. PRN.
The magic of being a host and a producer at the same time, Harvey Wasserman. Nice and juggling.
Listen, we can multitask. And here I am, Solartopia. So all things are possible in Solartopia. And I'm even going to do this, folks. People in PRN land won't appreciate, but I am going to right now, as we speak, take us all to Hawaii. Okay, so there we go. We're in Hawaii now. All right. So John Brakey, does someone want to say something real quick? John Brakey, you are in Arizona. They have just started calling Arizona for Biden, and I want to say that if anyone ever doubts the impact of our election protection work, and especially of people like John Brakey, I'm going to tell you, as a historian, as an activist, as an election protection person, that had it not been for John Brakey and the work that's been done in Arizona for the last, 15 years?
16 years this November, me and Arlene and a couple other people.
Mazel tov. So had it been not been for the election protection work in Arizona, absolutely Donald Trump would have carried Arizona. There is no doubt about it. So, John, can you tell us the situation there and give us 5 minutes about what the election protection movement did in Arizona and what we need to do elsewhere?
Well, I would say that we created a tipping point in Arizona in 2016, and it was over the presidential preference election when I sued the whole state. And if I have to give anybody any particular credit, that was an incredible lawsuit that we did. And it was after I met Chris Sauter, who's our attorney now. And so that election looked really strange. And I could prove that they suppressed 153,000 people in Maricopa. I could prove that the results were bizarre. Hillary Clinton wins the vote by mail by 60%. Bernie Sanders wins the precinct vote by 59%. And that breaks the rules of large numbers. And so basically, we were off to the races. And then, of course, even the Secretary of State's people in their office, their vote, somebody got in the voter database and hacked the database. And I took that as an issue. And I had Doug Jones come in on the case. And they fought us tooth and nail. It was a case that was done over 10 days. It was incredibly intense, like 1 hour, 2 hour sleepless nights, you know, working on it. And that got a tipping point where a guy stood up and said, I'm going to run for board for ahead of elections for Maricopa. And his name was Adrian Fontes. And that right there started the change in the state. The second part, because Pima was, you know, I was beating them up all the time and they're doing pretty good. But that created a situation that 60% of the vote has now led in our state to be transparent, trackable, but not yet publicly verified. That's the third quest. But they've built the second largest, best election department in the country. They did it for $2 million a year. When you look at LA, you have to laugh. They spent $325 million. They built their own software to track the ballot, and they're the best. And it's transparent and it's trackable. Next is to make it publicly verified. And I'm looking for a close election. Now, this election, let's talk about what's going on. We still have 275,000 ballots to count in Maricopa. We have 45,000 in Pima, probably another 15, 20 around the state. And we are right now in a reverse effect. What you see happening in Pennsylvania, where the numbers are changing, well, that's because they did not start counting their vote by mail until election day. We counted 14 days out. And the Democratic Party pushed very hard by saying, let's have a plan and let's vote early and make sure that we banked it. Well, they did. And then the Republicans have come in and they are hitting from the other side. So right now, I think that Arizona will go Biden still, but it's going to be a nail biter. And we will know in the next 24 hours how close that's going to be, because I'm worried. I'm looking at the numbers real hard and it could go either way possibly. But I think it's going to wind up Biden.
What is the margin for Biden right now in Arizona?
I think it's about 2.5. It's about 74,000 votes or 68,000. And the last set of ballots that went through were heavily drop-offs at the precincts. And I don't know how much post office is getting ready to come through. Those numbers will decide. If they keep getting vote by mails now or the ballots that got propped up at the precinct, they could possibly win Arizona.
Who could?
Trump.
But the vote by mail generally goes for Biden, doesn't it?
That's right. But Biden's people voted at the precinct and the others brought their ballot there to be deposited. It's incredible. In Arizona, there were protests outside of Maricopa County demanding that they keep counting, while the same group of people, you know, people who worked for Trump, are in Pennsylvania or other states saying, stop the count, stop the count. Or in Michigan. Interesting, huh? The hypocrisy in that. So yeah. I still think Arizona's going to be Biden, but it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
Wow. And what specifically, what changes in Arizona this year that you helped impact made a difference? Are most of the votes in Arizona on paper?
Oh, 100%. We're totally hand-marked paper ballots. We very rarely use BMDs. They're only used.
What are BMDs? Sorry. That's not
ballot marking devices what they are.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess Steve just put my election department up on the screen. That is Pima County. And if you're looking at that, you can see how transparent it really is. We get to look at every election department in the state. All the wiring is in racks above that you can trace the wiring. And he could take you to another screen. You can see them processing ballots. We've done a hell of a job making Arizona transparent, trackable. Like I said, the third phase is to make it publicly verified. And that's where I'm looking for a close suit. And I'm also looking to go lobbyist next year because we'll have a more receptive House and Senate.
Well, okay. So I thought Arizona was settled.
It's not settled.
No?
No. Sad. But hey, I'm loving what I'm seeing in Pennsylvania.
Why, what are you saying in Pennsylvania?
Michigan, what they did. I mean, they were way behind. It's the vote by mail. We opened it early. They opened it late. They're trying to make sure we keep counting in Arizona, and they're trying to stop the counts in other states. Chris Sauter, my attorney, is now involved in the fight in Michigan, in Detroit.
Well, I saw footage. Many of you may have seen footage from Detroit where there was a mob, another Brooks Brothers mob, although they weren't as well dressed as they were in 2000, trying to storm the sports arena to stop the vote count. And they were stopped. And apparently there are federal marshals inside the vote center in the sports center in Detroit who are armed. Does anybody know about that? Is anybody on from Michigan or has seen that footage from Detroit? There's a piece of a video circulating on the internet showing people yelling and screaming, and they're not armed, but they are yelling to stop the vote count. And then they're being stopped at a glass wall, and apparently there are federal marshals inside. There was an argument about this. People were saying that we should not have armed federal marshals inside the vote centers because it intimidates the vote counters. But in this case, they were clearly protecting the vote counters. So I don't know if that's a national trend or not. So we're still going to have to wait, John Brakey, for a definitive vote count from Arizona.
Yeah, and we had a mob, too, doing the opposite. They were demanding they keep counting.
Okay, well, life is full of surprises.
For that mob.
Mike Hirsch, did Alan Minsky leave the call?
No, I'm on. I'm sitting here as Progressive Democrats of America as well.
Oh, okay.
I've gone to the company Zoom.
All right. John Brakey, thank you for that report. Oh. We're going to ask you for more. Incredibly great work. Again, I will repeat. Had the election protection work not been done in Arizona by John Brakey and his associates, Arizona would have been long gone to Donald Trump, no doubt about it. So Alan Minsky with PDA, Progressive Democrats of America. What do you got for us? What's been going on with PDA in this election?
Well, obviously, you're involved directly in a PDA sanctioned project and blessed plot project, and you've brought together just an incredible array of election integrity and protection experts from around the country. And so at PDA right now, we're poised to track everything going around the country. Thanks again to the network that you've been really instrumental in helping us set up. We have, people who are monitoring very closely, and we're in touch with professional experts who are monitoring very closely everything that's going on. We're tracking the legal challenges that are being put forward. I am, of course, myself looking very closely at sort of the election counting websites, the high profile ones. So even including things like Nate Silver, who's, I believe, quite discredited as an assessor of polls these days, as is pretty much the entire polling industry. But they are rather.
Well, he's done very well with Polish people, but the polls have not been very good.
Yes, maybe. But what's true is that those sites are pretty good about tracking where the voting is coming in. So I'm keeping track of that. I'm also trying to keep track of how it looks in all of the states. Right now, it's just an absolute nail biter in Georgia. It looks like the spread there is going to be something on the order of Florida 2000, at least at the end of the next 24 hours. Pennsylvania is the most promising, as well as Nevada, very promising. In fact, the websites now, the number cruncher over at the New York Times, the number cruncher at Nate Silver's site, they're all saying that effectively Nevada could be called where the outstanding ballots are in Clark County, Las Vegas, 90% of them, I think the Secretary of State just said. But of course, if Arizona isn't in the Biden column, Nevada doesn't put Biden over the top.
Well, Nevada... Nevada has 6 votes, and the way it stands now on the front page of the New York Times is that would give Biden 270.
That's correct, but that goes with they're following the AP then in their call on Arizona. And I think that does seem that what John just said is a misinterpretation of Arizona. I think maybe the AP, look, the AP, what did the AP do to Bernie Sanders in 2016? Do people remember that on the eve of the California primary? AP, the Associated Press, you know, the most generally among the public respected news agency in the country, announced that Hillary Clinton, on the eve of the California Democratic primary, had won the Democratic nomination for president, which, you know, it absolutely perverted the result on the next day. So the AP, and it was wrong. It was the wrong thing to do, and I don't think it was accurate for a whole variety of reasons. And it was certainly never should have been done. So the AP is not flawless. They make mistakes, is sort of the point I'm trying to get to with that. And so it looks like they might have done that in Arizona. But again, it's trending positively in Pennsylvania. The lead is now under 100,000, as reported in Pennsylvania. I believe there's going to be a press conference momentarily from the Secretary of State in Pennsylvania. So again, we're monitoring everything along the lines of what John said. And again, just really props to you and the network that you've built up. PDA is in coordination with it. I just got off a national organizing call with the umbrella organization, Protect the Results. So we're in contact with all the organizations who've talked about mobilizing to defend democracy. I'll say this right now. By the way, we do have one piece of very clear good news that will not be reversed. The Democratic Party has not yet lost the Senate. It's going to be dual runoffs in the state of Georgia. Purdue is now below 50%, and nobody thinks Purdue is going to rise up above 50%, because the trending in Georgia is all in favor of the Democrats. So that means there's going to be, per state law in Georgia, dual runoffs, with Raphael Warnock being the nominee. He's a preacher, as it were, at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, the most famous church in the United States of America, really. And so that's going to be, and he's a very, as one can imagine, a very inspirational candidate. And John Ossoff running against Purdue for control of the U.S. Senate. And it's going to be very interesting, lest everybody think, well, look, these guys, you know, Ossoff was going to lose by 2 percentage points. It's only the runoff because of the Libertarian. Look, one of the sad facts about this election, sad because of who he is and how he has been as president, Donald Trump had coattails in these Senate elections. He had coattails against where the polls were. And without Trump going to Georgia to campaign for these candidates, which, if he is a lame duck president, how many of you listening right now think Donald Trump, with all of his narcissism, is going to go down there and do anybody's work that doesn't benefit Donald Trump? So
here's the thing. You mentioned this about Georgia, Alan, and this is critical. So these special elections will be in January. Mm-hmm. And the key issue in Georgia is election protection. We know Stacey Abrams would have been the governor of Georgia had that election not been stolen.
Right. And in a perfect world, which we're not in because of COVID, I'd buy plane tickets for John Brakey, Harvey Wasserman, Greg Palast, and get into Georgia right away. Okay.
We have people from North Carolina on the call. They can drive down there.
There we go.
But people from Florida that can drive up there, and people in Georgia.
And to give you an idea of how dynamic, we're almost living in this sort of like world of dominoes, where something happens or whatever it is. A butterfly flaps its wings in Canton, China, and there's a storm over Kansas in 6 days. You know, it's sort of chaos theory ideas about the world. Right now, if we do have that, as opposed to losing the Senate, that probably means Biden will not be naming Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, or he'll have a better excuse not to name Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren's cabinet, because the Senate will still be in play.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, both Massachusetts and Vermont have Republican governors. So those two cannot leave the Senate, because
They could if Mitch McConnell has a majority. It doesn't matter if Mitch McConnell's majority is 1 vote or 4 votes. Mitch McConnell will have that completely whipped into shape. But here's the thing. I'm way out ahead of myself. I'm just saying there's so many. I just wanted to use that as an example. There's so many balls in the air, so many things in play. But again, right now, what PDA is doing is exactly what you're doing on this call. We are monitoring the elections. We're monitoring for fairness. We're monitoring it for interference. And I want to end with this, Harvey. Let's hope they win the Senate. But at any rate, one of the reasons we really hope they win the Senate is because H.R. 1 was a strong bill put forward by the House of Representatives. directly focused against all of the Republican anti-democracy vote-stealing shenanigans that have gone on across this country for decades now. And Greg Palast, of course, has been huge in terms of exposing these for the world to understand. And they have this bill. It's only going to go through by winning the Senate. But let's never forget this moment, all of us on this call, all of us listening on the radio, because we need to strengthen our democracy. All of the demonstrations that may take place over the next week or 10 days, maybe counter demonstrations, they must be done in the spirit of strengthening our democracy, changing the rules from the federal government going on down so that we can actually have one person, one vote, national holiday for our election day, a whole bunch of good stuff in HR 1. We got to try to make sure those things get to law in this country so that we can get a much better democracy than what we have. Take it away.
Alan Minsky, your work has been spectacular. This call could not be happening. There's so much that PDA has made happen. We have Greg Palast. I'm going to go to him in a minute. But Chuck Panaccio, you are in Philadelphia and you're part of the PDA. And we are going to have a small demo in Philadelphia. And another, Jennifer Roberts, is on with us in Charlotte. Just of an hour at 11 a.m. Eastern time, people are going to come out with signs and say, count the votes. And I will say, by the way, I have a piece just up at truthout.org about the controversy of the 300,000 lost votes in the postal system, where we had a federal judge, demand that the Postal Service sweep their offices and find these 300,000 ballots and deliver them. And Louis DeJoy, the Trump head of the Postal Service, failed to comply with the federal order. I mean, this is something that we're familiar with in Ohio and elsewhere. Does anyone, Jennifer Tanner, you have a hand real quick, and then we'll go to Greg Palast. Jennifer, did you want to have something with Alan Minsky?
Yes, I did. I did. Thank you. Alan, thank you so much for that. But all the information, can we come back to the point? If we get those two in Georgia, are you saying we have the Senate? Is all we need is two?
Yes. If we win the presidency, then we have Harris is the tie-breaking vote. They control all the committees. No longer do the judges go through. Look, you know, the ideological makeup of the Democrats in the United States Senate are not to my liking. They're not to PDA's liking. But it is a world of difference to win the Senate, not have McConnell run that, and the benefit to society is.
Oh, absolutely. We can't even put judges in if we don't have the right. Senate. So, okay. So after we win with Biden, we put all our resources, everybody, like you say, into Georgia. Everybody.
Georgia. Yep.
Oh, yeah. And that is, there is no doubt in my mind, of course, I've been in Georgia for a while, that if we can protect the votes in Georgia, if we can make sure that everybody votes in, Greg is going to speak to this. He spent a lot of time in Georgia protecting the ballot, well, reporting on the ballots. If we can get hand-counted paper ballots with digital scanning machines and everybody who has the right to vote in Georgia, that state will go blue. I mean, the issues in Georgia have not been the ideology of the electorate. They've been, can we get a fair vote count? Because Stacey Abrams, if we had, would be governor right now. Isn't that right? I mean, absolutely. So, okay.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Does anyone else have anything for Alan Minsky? I do want to remind, and I did mention this. Thank you, Alan. It's always great to have you on. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And these calls could not have been happening without Mike Hirsch and the PDA. This is all, we're all part of the same thing. I want to welcome, by the way, Joel Siegel. Joel was in a minor car accident. We hope you're okay. And we hope you're going to sue and go to the chiropractor and get $1 million settlement, but we hope for the moment that you're good. Greg Palast, you're with us. Greg, you got your sound on?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Can everybody hear Greg? All right, Greg, I'm glad to see you're wearing your yarmulke. After you, by the way, we're gonna talk to Jennifer Roberts in North Carolina about what's going on down there. Very, very important stuff. I was just on there. Call. They are really committed to getting all the ballots counted, and I am of the firm belief that if all, and you have 2 weeks in North Carolina, firm belief that if all the ballots are counted in North Carolina, it will flip blue, and maybe we could even get that Senate seat. That would be fantastic. Okay, so Greg Palast, you are the grandfather, the godfather. We're still waiting for the paternity test, but we think you're the godfather of the grassroots election protection movement. And you went in 2000. I'm just telling for people, the two or three people that might not know, and were the first one to raise the issue of ballot stripping, of voter registration flipping in North Carolina. I want to ask you a pointed question. In Florida this year, Biden lost pretty quickly. What was the impact of the stripping of the voter rolls in Florida in this election this year?
Well, we don't know because I couldn't get the purge lists out of Florida. What they did was they're very smart. You know, back in 2000, I busted Catherine Harris. I got a hold of the list of voters purged because they said that these are people who were felons, not allowed to vote at the time in Florida. And so 58,000 black people, and it turns out not a single one was an ex-con illegal voter, not one. And that's how Bush became president. So I've been trying to get, cover this story of people being the ethnic cleansing of the voter rolls in America. Florida is difficult to find, except we do know one thing, 1.4 million ex-cons, 1.4 million. Remember, we had a crime bill, we had the war on drugs. 1.4 million Floridians are trying to vote because 65% of the people of Florida said ex-cons can vote. And almost none of them can. Because you have to, because the legislature added that provision that you have to pay your fines and fees. And here's the problem. I know that we've had some rich guys like King James and Soros say, well, we'll pay the fines. You don't know what the fines are. You got busted for two joints in your pocket 30 years ago in Alachua County. And if you think Alachua County still has the records about your $200 court fee, they don't. So then you take the chance that you're going to go back to prison if you vote. And someone later says, oh, they didn't pay their fines. And in fact, the state of Florida said, we will do exactly that. We are going to arrest, already they were preparing to arrest 1,000 voters, ex-cons, who voted, who registered, because the courts had said for a period of time, you don't have to do this cockamamie business of hunting down your fees. So look, Florida's fixed because there's over 1 million voters removed. That's not small. 88% of ex-cons, 88%. Are Democrats, and they know it. So Florida is a complete steal. Now, we move to Georgia.
Well, Greg,
I issued the report.
Hold on, Greg, before you go, let me give a quick professorial layout, because not everybody may know exactly the progression. What happened in 2018 was the Republicans again stole the governor's mansion and the Senate seat in Georgia by stopping the vote count. Once again, deja vu all over again. And then the voters of Florida approved a statewide referendum that would abolish the Confederate prohibition, the Jim Crow prohibition against ex-felons voting. And as Greg says, that legitimized 1.4 million people in Florida to vote. And then the legislature, the right-wing Florida legislature, gerrymandered, and everybody wants to know about this, read David Daley's book, A Rat Fucked, that's the title. The legislature stepped in and said, okay, the people of Florida have spoken, ex-felons can vote, but we're gonna make them pay all their fines before they can vote, even though we don't know exactly what their fines are. And that went to did that not go to the U.S. Supreme Court? Didn't the U.S. Supreme Court
say? The U.S. Supreme Court has said that you know, whatever the state legislatures approve, that's the law. In fact, if you look at the Second Amendment, if you look at the second article of the Constitution, that piece of crap, you have all of the powers of voting are rested in the legislatures. You know, people think, oh, we have a bad system because we only vote for electors, not for the president directly. I hate to tell you, you don't even vote for the electors directly. That's 100% in the Constitution up to the state legislature. Your vote is advisory, and we found that in Florida. Now, here's the thing that's happening in Georgia and in North Carolina and in Michigan with these and in Arizona. When you're talking about these Senate races, it's a straight-up steal. I issued a report through the ACLU issued a report of mine this year saying that 198,351 voters were illegally removed from the voter rolls of Georgia, purged. That's just about 200,000 voters. Now look at the margins. Now, I can tell you also Overwhelmingly, these are voters of color and young people. It's a straight up ethnic cleansing. Now, if Biden wins Georgia, and if Ossoff suddenly sneaks through, despite this purge, it'll only be because of the great work of Black Voters Matter Fund. They took my list of 198,351 illegally removed voters. The reason we know the exact numbers, we didn't do a scientific sample. We hired the post office, which you can do, and we hired Amazon, eBay, Google experts to go through the addresses.
Greg, did you just pull that number out of your head?
198,351?
Yeah.
It's perfect in my head. And okay. I met most of them.
We need to have your brain examined at some medical.
Yeah, there's some really sick stuff in there that has to be cleaned out. But in the meantime, well, you'll give me the proper drugs for this purpose. But the so you're talking a mass. And by the way, famously, it included, I was down in Georgia when, you know, I filmed Martin Luther King's 92-year-old cousin being thrown out of the polling station. I was there. They said she'd moved. Then I went to the house that they said she moved out of. That's Georgia. You have several hundred thousand voters purged in North Carolina. And yeah, you've got a governor there who's just watching it happen. He's not, by the way, he's not saying a peep. Cooper's been just a real disappointment.
Who's Cooper?
For Black people, he's a disaster.
Who's Cooper?
He's the governor.
Of which governor? Governor of?
We're talking in Carolina. Now, the problem that we're running into. So in North Carolina, you also have a steal. Tom Tillis should be dead on arrival, the Republican incumbent senator. Then we move to Michigan. You know, the Democrats almost blew that one. I have to tell you that the Black Voters Matter Fund and I listed the voters that were purged by the prior Republican administration of Michigan. But the Democratic current administration said, take down your list of purged voters. It's just going to discourage people from voting. This is the Democratic Party, the white Democratic Party, I should say, the Dixiecrats who run Minnesota. And they don't seem to get the idea that if you are purged from the voter rolls, you're not just discouraged, you're barred from voting. And so once again, the white Democratic Party has been very disappointing here. We've had a Black Democratic Party, the Freedom Democrats, as I call them, going back to, for those who know their history of 1964, Democrats were split into Dixiecrats and the white Jim Crow Democrats and the Freedom Democrats, who were mostly Black organized parties throughout the South. I think that division has spread nationwide. And so you see in Minnesota, they almost lost the Democratic incumbent senator because the Democratic Party there would not reverse the purge of a third of a million voters. Whereas Wisconsin, an African-American lieutenant governor pushed the issue of stopping these purges. That's Mandela Barnes. We did a report again, Black Voters Matter Fund, where they're going to remove 123,000 voters from the voter rolls, almost entirely Black voters. And that was stopped. We provide a report to the state, the Board of Elections. They said, we're not going to remove these people. This list is junk. So in Wisconsin, they took a very different view. If it weren't for that, if you had removed those 123,000 voters, Biden would be toast in Wisconsin. He would not be in the White House, or, you know, depending on what else happens, I should say. So when the Democratic Party decides to take on the issue of vote protection, they win. When the Democratic Party hides from the issue, and, you know, because they're always afraid that they'll chase away white voters, whatever their reasons are, I don't know.
I think their reasons.
But they lose. So I'm just worried that the Senate will be decided by this purge and not by the voters.
I think the reason that this is conspiracy theory, but I think it's one of those conspiracies that's true. The Democrats.
You think it's true?
The Democrats steal the primaries because they don't want the Bernie Sanders of the world to win primaries. And then they turn around and wonder why they lose general elections.
Yes.
That's the basic theory.
Yes, it's very true. By the way, this time, Harvey, you're not insane. I think there's a lot to what you said. I mean, I don't know exactly because you're asking me to reach into a mind of a Democrat. It's a tight space. I don't go there. I'm not of any party, as you know. I don't support one candidate or the other. My book is, of course, How Trump Stole 2020. There it is. Which, by the way, was a warning, not a prediction. But it sure as hell is still a close matter. The Democrats, you're right. as we saw in California, where I calculated for The Guardian, working for The Guardian, we calculated that 553,000 votes were stolen from Bernie Sanders. So if you keep wiping out Democrats in primaries, yes, Black Democrats, progressive Democrats in primaries, yeah, it's going to come to bite you in the ass in the general. I 100% agree. And I think in North Carolina, there's a fear of a Black party. There really is. And if Tillis wins election, re-election, they're not going to say it's because of the massive purge of voters. They're not going to say it's because of voter suppression. They're going to say, well, we shouldn't have picked a Black candidate. And that's the problem that we're running into. I think you're absolutely right on this one, Harvey. Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Greg. That's coming from you. That's high praise. Does anyone want to have a question for Greg Palast?
Because I have to cut, get my editor.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, please.
What are the key dates in the 12th Amendment scenario? I know one is March 4th, but what's the earlier one?
No, the key dates for would be the each state is different. That is the certification dates for each state. For example, I know that Florida is an early one. You have to finish the Florida vote by November 14th. November 14th. That's all they have to count all the ballots, verify them. December 8th is what is called the safe harbor date. After December 8th, you can't have any disputes over votes relating to the Electoral College. December 14th is the date when the Electoral College slates winning in each state, or they're chosen. By the way, when I say winning, it doesn't matter. It's chosen by the legislature of each state. They meet on December 14th, cast their ballots, and that's transmitted on the 15th to the clerk of Congress on the 15th of December. Those are your drop dead dates. So we will know if there's any dispute, we will know the president by December 14th, which is why we have to worry about reaching over. Now, there's one other thing. If on those dates there is a dispute over the electoral, which electoral slate is won. Number one, under Article 2 of the Constitution, it's up to the state legislature. We saw this in 2000, by the way, in Florida, where the state legislature of Florida, most people don't realize this, passed a law saying no votes will be counted after, I think it was December 5, mail-in votes, any votes, recount, no more vote counting. What happened was is that Roger Stone claims to have led the Brooks Brothers riot, which shut down the count in Miami-Dade clerk's office. Catherine Harris the next day declared George Bush the winner. She stopped the count. This is what people don't understand. She stopped the count when George Bush was ahead by 537 votes. There were still 178,000 votes on the table in Jacksonville and Miami, Democratic votes. Bush got wiped out. He didn't just lose. He got wiped out, but they said no more counting of the votes. And that went to the legislature. Catherine Harris made that decision, but the legislature passed the law which adopted the Bush electoral slate. And guess what? The Supreme Court of Florida said, no, you can't do that. You got to count all the votes. You have to count. You can't leave 178,000 votes on the table. But the Supreme Court seized the case. Bush sued the Supreme Court, sued to appeal. We went to the U.S. Supreme Court. They overturned the Florida Supreme Court, saying it's up to the legislature. Because that's what the Second Amendment says. It doesn't matter what the voters say. It's what the legislature says. And finally, if there is a continuing dispute on which slate goes, it's determined by the Electoral Count Act of 1887, which has never been tested. It's probably unconstitutional. And whatever it is or it isn't, the Electoral Count Act is exactly what Amy Covid Barrett says it says. That's it. So that's the problem with the presidential race. But, you know, it may be impossible if even we get close to a true count. It looks like Biden, from our calculations, and we do our own independent projections here, is going to win several of these states. And it's going to be, I think, pretty difficult for them to stop it. What's not being noticed is the theft of the Senate in Georgia, in North Carolina. I'm confident that that's what's going on there.
Well, and we've discussed this on the call before, all these gerrymandered legislatures in Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida. They're all right, extreme, Arizona as well, not Nevada. But all these right-wing gerrymandered legislatures technically have the constitutional power to completely ignore the popular vote and choose their own electors. Is that not right?
The second article of the Constitution leaves 100% of the power to the legislature. There's no mention of voters, period. You're just advising the legislature on which slate to pick. And that might sound insane. Well, welcome to the U.S. slaveholders' Constitution. But I can tell you this. So I'm very concerned. And by the way, if you want to see the purge, if you want to see how the purge works, there is a 14-minute film I made, narrated by Deborah Messing, and put out by Leonardo DiCaprio. I know that you're all on his Instagram storybook site where it is, but if you can't find it, just go to gregpalace.com and write in The Purge.
I watched it. It's very good, by the way. Good work, Greg.
Thank you. You know, we're trying to make it real by having you see the people who are losing their votes. It makes a big difference. When I say 198,000, it doesn't mean much. When you see a voter in tears breaking down because they can't vote, that changes your view.
Ann Garrison, did you want to say something?
Isn't there some significance to March 4th in regard to the 12th Amendment?
Well, March, it used to be, we used to have an inauguration of the president in March. The 12th Amendment happens, let's say that we have one state. And this is, by the way, my big fear. Everyone thinks it's over. What if the Republicans of the state of Michigan, the Republican legislature, or the Republican legislature of Pennsylvania, for that matter, any of these states, says there's too much fraud? There's you just heard Donnie Trump saying these mail-in ballots could have come from Mars. Well, he's wrong, because I know that they don't sell stamps on Mars. So so you should know better. But, we could easily see a legislature saying there's too much fraud. There's too much contentiousness. A lot of these ballots, for example, Pennsylvania does not use what's called signature verification, this phony business of checking your signature and allowing a challenge. Trump's trying to challenge his inability to challenge. You know, this legislature could just say it's too much of a cluster F. And so we're not going to certify anyone. What if that happens in any of these states that Biden is taking, like Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Georgia? These are rapidly right-wing legislatures. If one says, we're just not going to certify a slate, then no candidate gets 270 votes. And if no one gets 270 votes, that's when it kicks over into the 12th Amendment. That will go on January 6th is the date to be aware of. There will be a vote in Congress on January 6th, and no, Pelosi doesn't pick the president. It's one state, one vote. California gets the same vote as South Dakota. At the moment, it looks like there are at least 26 Republican-controlled delegations. And so under the 12th, Donald Trump becomes president. And in fact, all you need is one faithless elector for Biden to elect Trump as president.
And that's if it stays at 270. Does it have to be 270, or is it just a majority of the electors who show up?
It must be. This is the trick. You have to get 270. So even if you get a vast majority of the electors showing up, if you only hit 269, it goes to the House of Representatives.
Okay.
It's never been done. I mean, it was kind of done before the Electoral Count Act. We were heading into a 12th Amendment election in the Tilden-Hayes race, for those of you who know this, the trivia of history. And instead of going to the normal 12th Amendment procedure, they set up a special commission. President Grant was concerned about basically another reopening of the Civil War.
Right. Okay. Anyone else have a question for Greg?
Yes. Yeah, I do. This is Dr. Laura. Greg, any idea? We had all these major efforts out here to get to these purge voters and get them to re-register. Any idea how successful that was at all?
Well, I think the fact that Biden may win Georgia and even Ossoff may cross the line is due to direct action. One, the ACLU, when they issued my report, we got a lot of attention, press attention in the Black community, zero white coverage, by the way. Finally got mentioned by MSNBC, or no, CNN a couple days ago, my report. But during the registration period, we've got a lot of Black media say, check your registration, register now. This is a month before the election. And we also, big, probably the most important group there, was not Stacey Abrams' group, because hers is mainly a litigation organization now, but Black Voters Matter. And Latasha Brown, Cliff Albright, who run Black Voters Matter, founded it. They sent out 98,000 large, colorful postcards saying, you're purged, you better re-register. And they also, the Southern Poverty Law Center, made hundreds, if not thousands, of calls to people say, you've lost your vote, you better re-register. So the word was getting out. And also, I did some films. I did a short film with Yvette Nicole Brown, 1 minute, that was also put out by Leonardo DiCaprio. It got 6 million views. And it ends with saying, you know, go to this location to check if you've been purged in Georgia, Florida, Michigan, or Wisconsin. So we got a lot of people back on through these direct action efforts. Now, notably, notice it wasn't the Democratic Party that tried to get the voters back on the rolls. That, you know, like I say, I still don't know the answer to that. But these groups did a hell of a lot. And I have no doubt that tens of thousands of voters who were purged did re-register. I can tell from the traffic to a site we set up called SaveMyVote2020.org, where you can see if you've been purged. And we had massive traffic. I don't know the numbers offhand. So I think that direct action, publicity, et cetera, helps. People have to understand, just because you registered once doesn't mean you stay registered. And if you're a voter of color, good luck staying on the voter rolls.
Right. So this is a plan of, this embodies a plan of action for all of us. This is what we're looking at. We're looking at the next 4 years. At this point in time, we don't know who's going to control the Senate or the White House. I do want to urge that the Government Accounting Office go into the White House now and inventory all the sheets and blankets and the silverware in case the Trump family does leave. I mean, as a taxpayer, we should be concerned about that.
Harvey, they're all going to be pardoned. They're going to take everything that's not nailed down, and then the last thing will be a pardon. There'll be an empty White House. There won't even be a pillowcase left, and they're going to have a sign up on the door, which will be President Trump's last act of office. He's going to pardon himself and the rest of his gangsters, and they're going to walk out for – and they'll probably take the doorknobs too.
Well, no, they'll take the desk from the Oval Office, you know, and they'll put it on eBay. So, all right. Well, Greg Palast, thank you very much. But this is part of our game plan. You revisited Florida 2000. The problem is that Florida 2000 happened again this year. It was stolen, absolutely. And, you know, part of it had to do with the work that John Brakey did on the electronic scanners. Jennifer Roberts and Charlotte, we want to talk with you. I do want to say to my PRN listeners, if you're on PRN, FM listening to this live, we are going to go for another hour. If you want to join our Zoom call, go to grassrootsep.org, grassrootsep.org. Go to upcoming Zooms, and the link to this Zoom call is there. And we are going to go another hour. I mean, this is just something to tell our, I have many grandchildren I can tell about this, actually, but let's just hope to God we get through it. So Jennifer Roberts, former mayor of Charlotte, next U.S. Senator from North Carolina, I was on the call with you earlier. There will be a demonstration. It's a vigil, a one-hour vigil downtown Charlotte tomorrow, also in Philadelphia with Chuck Panaccio, wherever you want to do it. If Steve or Mike, if you can put up the flyer for a moment, that would be great. We're hoping that people, you know, if you want to do it in your town, it's a great thing to do. John Brakey in Phoenix, might be fun just to go downtown to the voting center and stand there for an hour with Quaker style with signs that say count the vote. There's the flyer, fantastic flyer. That's my hero, Ben Franklin there. Chuck, did you decide where you're going to do this in Philadelphia? Chuck Panaccio, can you pipe in real quick?
Yeah, Panaccio. It's going to be Independence Hall, right in front of
Independence Hall.
Right in front of Independence Hall.
And are you going to have a Ben Franklin costume on, or are you going to?
I've been scouring and I'm not scoring any luck here, but I don't know if you have a spot for me to come up, but I'm just coming off a massive rally and I got a chance to get an announcement to over 500 people who were part of a demonstration to count the vote. There were over 500 pro count the vote and about 25, 30 Trumpers on the other side of the divide. So anyway, I have some pictures I'd like to share at some point. Thanks.
Please, let's talk with Jennifer, then we'll talk to you, Chuck. Great work on that. Jennifer, there will be a vigil also in Charlotte tomorrow. Where will that be?
It's at 11 a.m., and I am not certain of the location. Is Joel on? He would know the location. Our Board of Elections, it could be the Board of Elections. They've got a big parking lot, but the Government Center is in a different location, so I'm not sure exactly which place. But
I think Government Center.
Government Center. Oh, Rodney.
Oh, right. Is that Rodney Sadler?
Yes, that's Rodney.
Can you join Jennifer and explain to us, Rodney, I didn't know you were on, sorry. What is going to happen now? Jennifer, you were talking about continuing to count the vote, and Rodney, will jump in, please.
Yeah, I can talk about what some close races for our state Supreme Court, which we know has been vital for things like redistricting and environmental laws. We do have a close race in that, and we have some close state House and state Senate races. We are still counting ballots, mailed ballots, and also those who had a problem, a rip in the ballot or missing a witness signature can still be cured up to November the 12th. And so what we are doing is trying to get that information out on social media and through, you know, email lists, et cetera, so that people check with ballot tracks to see that their ballot, if they mailed it in, was accepted and not rejected or didn't have any problem. Provisional ballots, if people showed up in the wrong place to vote at 7:30, right when polls were closing, and didn't have time to go to the right place, they're allowed to cast a provisional ballot. But the races won't count for districts they're not in, but it wouldn't count for the Senate and it wouldn't count for president. And those ballots have to be gone through, you know, one by one. If they did have some kind of rip or problem, they're supposed to be cured, but people don't know necessarily to check. And so we're going to get out lots of information. There are phone banks going on that we got information from. I don't know if Susan is still on, but there are a lot of people who are trying to get in touch with those folks before November the 12th. November the 13th, the county boards of elections meet.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.